Place to Be Nation Universe, what is up? I'm your host, Chris Zellner, and we are discussing the WWE Roadblock End of the Line. Gotta make sure we get that in there. WWE Network Special, Pay-Per-View, whatever you want to call it. And joined, as always, by Johnny Sorrow. Johnny, what is up this evening?
Not much. Enjoyed the show. Had fun. I'd watched it. People had like holiday things to do, so I watched this tonight with my 20-year-old nephew, who only pops in every now and then. But 8 years ago, I took him to a live show. We watched it when he was a little younger, and he just plopped down with me and watched the whole show with me. So I got to have his take, which was a lot of fun. I'm gonna be stealing tons of jokes.
Well, credit where credit is due, I guess, Johnny, when it comes to that time. And also joined by Devin Hales, who is right now Ezekiel Elliott's biggest fan. Devin, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm watching this Cowboys game, the tail end of it, and we can talk more about medical updates. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm doing good.
Don't you know that football's fake?
Everything's a work, Johnny. Let's just keep that in mind. Everything is a work. Everything. But we have some action tonight on this show that sometimes didn't look like a work, but we'll talk about it as the show goes along.
Yeah.
All right. Pre-show, we had Sam Roberts on the panel from the Jim and Sam show on SiriusXM, which I love. And,
me too. I'm a huge fan of Sam Roberts, and I just wanted to get this in here. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Go ahead.
I'm a huge Sam Roberts fan. I'm a huge Opie and Anthony fan, or whatever it's become. And Sam was a guy who really worked his way up.
He was an intern for ONA.
Started as an intern of ONA, and had a great attitude and work ethic. And he's a huge wrestling fan, anyone who knows. And what I really enjoyed of the little we got of him on the pre-show, as opposed to Rosenberg last week, is Sam is such a fan. He didn't just do the whole, like, hey, here I am, happy to be here. He embraced the role and started interviewing as if it was real. You know, like, when you say something like that, doesn't make the opponent like blah, blah, blah. And he got into it that way. And I was just so happy for him because I'm a huge Sam Roberts fan. So I thought he did a great job.
Yeah, he was legitimately excited. You could tell by when he was talking about it on the show, when he announced it on, I think it was Monday morning, that he was going to be doing this. And
maybe he has a future because apparently Vince likes, with his like of Ellsworth, he likes guys who look like aliens. So
he looks more like Larry Fine to me than an alien.
There you go. Hey Mo, I pissed on my shoe.
Does that make Jim Norton curly?
Curly, yeah, the X-rated curly.
And Anthony Cumia is gonna be Mo.
He's Mo. Yeah. He's like, all right, listen, knucklehead.
And Opie Shemp, of course.
Opie Shemp.
But yeah, I like Sam Robertson. He got a lot of shit tonight. A lot of people didn't like him, but I think that's going to be par for the course for a lot of these media types they have on the show. They're just going to hate him anyway because they're who they are.
I get the shit with Rosenberg, but Sam's awesome. He's a cool guy. Very entertaining. Very smart.
Yeah. We had one match in the pre-show, Big Cass against Rusev. And I don't know. And to me, I don't know if you guys will agree. Lana looked great tonight.
Oh, yeah.
But I think she's getting real skinny. I mean, and she's looking skinnier than normal in some ways. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know if it's just me. I mean, she's very top heavy for sure. But I think she's, I mean, she's just looking real skinny. Skinny than me.
Maybe. She is going down at NXT. And
she's training, yes. Yeah.
Training. Yeah, so yeah. If you're training, you're going to drop a little weight.
Yeah, that's a great point, Johnny. I didn't think about that. You're right. Yeah, she's down training and getting some wrestling action in.
She's working the Florida loop.
As a baby face.
Really?
Yeah. She's working as a baby face.
That's interesting.
But Devin, this was quite the pre-show match. This is a match between two guys who I'm really into. I think this was a good like palate wetter. You know, they didn't need to go out there and have like a really definitive type match. This needed to be a setup for more down the line, and I think they did a pretty good job. So, your thoughts on the match and your thoughts on this whole angle altogether, the Enzo, Cass, Rusev, Lana deal.
The match was fine. It was only a couple of minutes, but like you said, it was a setup for I think they announced that they're going to have a rematch tomorrow, I think, on Raw, and then I'm sure they'll have a bigger match maybe like the first week of January or something like that. So this is a feud that's going to continue on for a little while longer. I've actually liked this program. At first, I was like, okay, this is kind of stupid. But it was the hotel beatdown that kind of turned me around on it. And I think that turned a lot of other people around on it, too. It was just a lot. I really like when WWE uses on-location stuff because I think it adds more. I think it adds more excitement. I think it adds, you know, more, you know, at times even more character development, like they did with the barroom brawl.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, with, yeah.
You know, Cesaro and Sheamus. So I really like on location segments. So there was that, but it was just fun. It was just a fun segment, and it turned me around. And you know, I'm probably leaning in the crowd of Rusev seems like the babyface in some ways because Enzo's being an asshole, but that is Enzo's gimmick. But regardless of who I'm rooting for, because I'm honestly rooting for Rusev to beat Enzo's ass, it's a fun feud. I like it. Although I do have to point out that I thought it was hilarious that Enzo called Rusev a Russian hack. That was clever. But it was fine. It set up for more matches down the line.
Now, Johnny, doesn't this whole thing seem like Cass is the guy who his best friend is the guy that talks all kinds of shit, and Cass is like the big buddy who has to constantly go and pick up the fights that the little dude is the guy that's ass kicked and get revenge for him and all that shit. And it seems like Cass is playing that role here, and you know he's just trying to do it for his buddy. I mean, what do you think about the whole thing?
Well, you know, I'm from that part of the country, so and I'm sure the idea of like a little guy who's a loudmouth with his big best friend is not something that's exclusive to New York, New Jersey. They have that spin on it. You know, it's everywhere. And I get a kick out of it. I love it because Cass doesn't give a shit. He agrees with his best friend. Yeah, so it's not like he's being used by him. So, you know, they're a team, and that's just the way it is. He's the big bulldog from the Warner Brothers cartoon, and he's the little yappy one. Yeah, and as far as who's the heel and bad guy of the situation, it's one of those weird wrestling things. But what's neat is in the announcing here, because Corey is purely on Rusev's side, you know, and he's the heel announcer, and he's like, look, you know, he's a married woman, you know, fuck him. And you got Byron, having to try to, you know, be like, well, come on, she enticed him, you know, into the room for a beatdown. Like, okay. And then you have Michael Cole, who's supposed to be like the voice of reason guy now. He doesn't get outraged anymore. And he just very calmly goes, well, you know, this actually all started a few weeks ago when Enzo was locked out of his locker room without any clothes on and walked right up to Lana with no clothes on, and they felt disrespected by that. So he took the heel side on that very calmly. He said, no, I think Enzo's in the wrong here. Like, normally that wouldn't happen. Normally the voice of reason guy would always take the side of the baby face, even if it didn't make sense. And this time now they're like, he might have brought that
well,
on.
Well, that's the thing in WWE these days. There's such a gray area anyway on who are babyface and heels, that, you know, you can do that in these storylines a lot of ways.
Yeah, but it's also very historically wrestling. I mean, come on. It's
just, well, like, I tell you this, Larry Manasik, if you watch the old St. Louis stuff, Larry Manasik would, you know, if a heel used dirty tactics in the ring, Larry Manasik would openly say, you know, the referee doesn't see it, so I could understand why the heel is doing this. He's trying to he's trying to do what he can to win the match.
Right.
So I mean, exactly. But, you know, Jesse. Well, of course, Jesse was a heel announcer, but you know,
but yeah, Manasik's the play-by-play guy and the voice of the show, and he's saying, "So okay, well, he's taking advantage of the opportunity given to him. So he's treating like a real sport, you know."
Yeah. I also, before we move on, I just want to add with Devin, one thing I have kind of historically not liked is the whole mysterious camera guy. Why is the camera guy there in the hotel room? That whole aspect of it. I've always, it's one of those things I just, okay, it's just the way it is, but I've never really liked it until recently, because in this world of reality television, you know, that's so huge into everything. The idea that there's just cameras everywhere. Okay.
Not just one camera either, multi-cameras.
It's a multi-camera shot.
Yes.
But I think it was also the level of violence in the hotel beatdown saved it from being too silly, because he kicked the dog shit out of him. It was fucked up.
And he dragged his body, his limp body, and left it.
Drags him out.
So the cleaning lady can pick him up later.
For the cleaning lady. And then on Raw, they get to do the whole great thing where they're like, do you want to see what we do behind closed doors? And they just show the beatdown. You fools.
Yeah.
And I love her thing working with, because when we were growing up, Chris, they never acknowledged people being married. Ever. Hardly ever. You know, no one had a family and people weren't married. And for her to show that ring and constantly just say to that crowd, the only man who can have me, and boo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Boo.
Yeah, it's great. It's great for Heat. They're a great act. And that's, you know, I think this has been enjoyable for what it was. And we'll see where they go from here.
I think it's been a lot of fun, because everyone involved is firing at high levels of performance.
Well, everybody really is great in their roles. That makes a difference too. And yep, they're able to do good promos and stuff like that. It's just this feud right here is, you know, much more entertaining than basically what we have on a lot of the main feuds. So it's interesting how that is. But anyway, let's go to the main show proper. We start off with the WWE, the Raw Tag Title match, where New Day, who's fresh off of breaking the record for longest days as champions consecutive, beating Demolition's record last Monday, defeating, going up against Sheamus and Cesaro here, and New Day was in their Christmas attire, you know, all the red and green, and the Christmas bootios, which I wonder, are they going to be for sale in FYE? You know, or WWE.com. It's interesting if we see that happen.
And Chris, they not only, those tights not only were Christmas themed, because they say who, because that's their gimmick.
Yeah.
They went with a Dr. Seuss thing, because on Kofi's dick was Horton.
And I wasn't paying attention to Kofi's crotch.
Oh, I couldn't miss it, because Horton was here to who on Kofi's junk. And it was hilarious. I mean, granted, you're like, well, it should have been the Grinch, I guess. But, you know, I guess putting Cindy Lou Who on your ass would probably be a little too on the nose. I don't know, but oh, wonderful.
Yeah, probably so. But in Sheamus and Cesaro debuted, I think they're combo opening there where Cesaro
did that on Raw.
I can't remember if they did it or not on Raw.
They did it on Raw, but not this well.
Yeah, where Cesaro did his stripping behind Sheamus, so that was good. And this was exactly what it needed to be. To me, they played off of previous matches, stuff that's happened, you know, in the past with New Day and other against other opponents, and it came back to bite him in the ass at the end, Johnny. So what do you think about the match here? And do you think that they should have changed the titles so quickly after New Day broke the record?
It's one of those things, and we'll see, there's a few occasions of this tonight, of typical wrestling stuff. You know, like, of course, they just beat the record, and they did it in two matches, and they lose the next time. And it's so typical wrestling that you call it. But if you do it well, I'm fine with it. And I really love this match. As you mentioned, the joint Sheamus-Cesaro entrance finally works. I love how they've taken the most tired trope of all time, these tag team partners who don't fucking get along, and have given it new life, and it made it work, especially as you get at the end, you know, when they're hugging, and Sheamus is like, oh, fuck you, in your hugs, you know, and takes the belt, and Cesaro goes out to the crowd, you know, and they're doing the booth thing, but as a team, you know, working together amazingly. And I just want to mention the finish.
Holy shit.
It was awesome. Awesome.
Amazing.
Whoever came up with that, bravo. This is one of the things that my nephew popped for this one. He looks at me and goes, that was really smart. Like, it was, wasn't it? The fake. Because at first, when Cesaro pulled back, did not take the tag, I'm like, oh, he's turning on him. Ugh, fuck you. Because I didn't want that. No. He sacrificed himself, and then he comes in. So the guys who don't get along showed better teamwork than the New Day, you know, finally, you know, and that cost them. And I was like, fuck, that was good. I popped huge for that. And I really loved the match. I thought everyone in there was just giving it their all and just tearing the house. This probably is my favorite match of the night, to be perfectly honest with you.
I've watched wrestling for over 30 years now. I've never seen that finish before.
Never. It's brand new. Brand new.
And it's so smart, and it makes you wonder, why haven't this been done sooner in these type of situations where you have like a team that may have had issues in the past or something like that, whatever. But I mean, that was just a genius move. And I agree.
I'd love to know who came up with that.
Yeah,
it was brilliant.
Yeah, whoever the agent was definitely deserves kudos on that. So maybe that'll come out. Devin Cesaro was again a machine in this match, and it seems like he's really turned it back on lately. And him and Sheamus have become a very strong tag team. So, what are your thoughts on their prospects as champions? Where do they go from here, and the match in general?
The match was great. Cesaro. His strength is incredible. I mean, the guy's insane. That whole sequence where he was just basically, you know, obviously Kofi lended a hand in the sequence where they did the deadlift suplex out of the small package, I think it was, and did all that crazy shit. But yeah, it was a great match, and it was no joke, one of the best finishes I've ever seen in a match. Like, I couldn't believe, like, how well done. Like, it was like, wow, that's really, really, really smart. So yeah, definitely kudos to whoever came up with that idea. But I think they'll be a great tag team. They're two great workers. Cesaro's over with the crowd. I think Sheamus he's actually gotten more over with the crowd in this tag team. It's helped him get more over with the crowd. So I think that they'll be over with the crowds. I think that they'll have good matches. And I think they'll probably have a reign of at least a couple of months, I would guess. So I'm looking forward to their tag title reign for sure.
Do you think we get automatic rematches with New Day? I mean, I'm pretty sure we will. But
I'm sure we will, yeah.
I kind of want the New Day to go to something else right now. I would still like to have that Big E solo run that I think would be great. And Kofi and Xavier can still do their thing. They can still be a trio,
right?
But have Big E go solo.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I think that's what's needed right now. And I tell you what, the matches that Sheamus and Cesaro have had with Gallows and Anderson, I really enjoyed. So I hope that's something that's going to come to pass as well.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
And we also, I just need to mention the funniest thing ever was on Raw during the New Day match, and it was Woods wrestling with Big E against whoever, and someone like beat up Woods and went after him, and Big E comes in and he goes, "You don't touch my baby."
Yeah, and Big E's and little boots are great too.
And whoever it was looks at him and goes, "What?" He goes, "You heard me."
Yeah, my
baby.
Yeah, so we'll see where they go from here, but definitely a hell of a match to start the show off, which is what they needed. All right, next we get Kevin Owens being interviewed by Chuck, as she's been called, Charlie Caruso, who was wearing some type of overall get-up here. Boy, Owens really gave it to her good, didn't he, Johnny? Good Lord.
Oh, it was hilarious. It was hilarious. And boy, she's adorable. The little overall thing, like you mentioned, she's so cute. And he just his incredulousness at the shit she was asking him with the like, "Who the fuck are you? Are you going to insult me?" You know, and every little thing, his miming thing while she was talking. He's so good at that shit. That's why he's one of my favorite guys. Just. I think one time he called her Renee.
Yeah, called Renee. Yeah,
and just love it. And you know, like as soon as like a cut, they laugh their asses off. So,
oh yeah,
you
know,
good. And she kept a straight face, man.
Just, oh yeah, she did. She's a pro. She's gotta give her that.
And I think you're gonna see like, her and more and more there. The opportunity for people in media to get who are serious about it to get a start in WWE is now a thing, especially I think when you see how, you know, Jonathan Coachman and this is a legitimate way to maybe get your foot in the door to get into media because she's quite good.
Yeah.
She's not a stiff.
Yeah. She had previous background in Indianapolis working for TV stations there. So she's like Coach did in Kansas City. So, I mean,
yeah, and so did Byron Saxton, yeah. Actually. And, you know, he was you just know he was a local news fucking Ken doll.
And Chris Jericho turned down Owens' holiday scarf, which was sad. But that would change later on. All right, next match. Sami Zayn versus Braun Strowman in the 10-minute challenge this feud right here has probably been the highlight for me of Raw for the past few weeks. I love this whole story. I thought it was, you know, it's been done really, really well. The whole thing on Monday where Foley had Sami Zayn, you know, snookered and thinking he was traded for Eva Marie and then showed that he had that blank sheet of paper, I thought that was tremendous stuff. You know, this is really, really good. And proving that Sammy didn't want to go to SmackDown. He wanted Braun Strowman. So, just great stuff. And Braun was awesome in this match, in my opinion. Sammy was really good. I know some people didn't like some of the hokiness with when Foley came out, but I thought it added something to the match in the end. Mm-hmm. And, Devin, we'll start off with you. Your thoughts on the angle and how everything went down tonight in the match?
I love the storyline going in into it. I loved the segment. I guess it was last week where Foley and Zayn got into it in the ring and Foley said he traded Sammy for Eva Marie, which had me burst out laughing. I really like this program, and the match ruled. It was awesome. I do not want to take potato shots from Braun
Strowman. Oh, no!
Zayn did tonight. because good fucking Lord, he was potatoing him. And, I mean, it was done on purpose. I mean, it wasn't like he was, you know, being a professional. I mean, they worked it that way, but my God, it was brutal. I mean, it was awesome, but man, a few of those shots were slightly uncomfortable. But it which really helped because it really put over the match. the Foley stuff added to the match. I think, you know, that's part of the story, you know, is for that is so it made sense for Foley to come down and threaten to throw in the towel. And it made Zane look strong when he threw it. And then the finishing sequence, the last 2 minutes were excellent. Braun took some amazing bumps. My God, that guy can move and can bump too. And both guys look strong because Braun, you know, got to show his dominance and beat the hell out of Zane. And Zane got to sell and look strong and look tough and look like he could have had a chance to even beat Braun at the end of the match. So it was, I thought it was a perfectly booked match and a really well worked match.
And I thought that was a lot. I thought that was the best part at the end, where, you know, you would think of something like this at the end that it would be Sammy's fighting to just survive. No, he was he was winning. I mean, he had Braun on the ropes.
Well, what they did is they had Sammy fight to survive, but also get that offense at the end of the match and look like he could have won. So they did both those in
exactly
the 2 minutes.
Yeah. So I got to give them a lot of props on how they laid that match out too. Johnny, you know, Braun Strowman is really getting a following online. People are finally starting to see what some of us have seen for a while in Braun, is that he's not your classic old school big guy, like a Big John Studd and guys like that would just be big stiffs. This guy can, like Devin said, he's very agile. He takes great bumps. He sells good. I mean, he does a lot of good things that a guy his size back in the day didn't always normally do. So what are your thoughts about Braun and his progression as a performer and the match itself?
Well, first of all, how dare you insult the memory of the great Big John Studd, sir? I will not stand for that. You are
well, yeah, he had concrete feet, Johnny.
I'd love to. Hey, look, there's a million 80s of stiffs you could have picked, and you're going to pick someone who is near and dear to my heart. Really? You could have picked fucking, what's his name, who played Bane in that Batman movie? You know, Jeep Swenson or some shit like that. No, you got to go with fucking Stud. I love Stud. Anyway, I think one of the neat things about Strowman is, and it gives him more of an edge, is, hey, his promo work is great, and his southern accent.
Yes, and, he has a great southern accent.
Whether or not you think, whether or not you like the whole, like, Vince hates southern accents, you know, except if it's Jim Ross, Steve Austin, or who, you know, who, all the examples that prove that maybe he doesn't. But generally, you know, we know he's not the hugest fan, but there's something about that southern accent coming out of that voice and that monster, and it lends him more of an air of menace. Read into that what you will.
Yeah.
But I think it works, you know. It works amazingly. And when he debuted with the Wyatts and online, a number of DVDBR, they still are pushing this unfunny joke about, you know, no one could get his name right because, oh, it's a typical dumb WWF name. I'm like, yeah, it wasn't funny the first time. It still isn't fucking funny. And look at him now. He's awesome. Yeah, he's got a great future in front of him because exactly, he's a giant muscle-bound motherfucker who can move, I heard an interview with him. He's such a nice, goofy guy backstage that, you know, Sammy went up to him because he probably said, "I want you to lay it in."
Yeah,
I don't lay it the fuck in. Oh, if you say so. Okay, because he sure as fuck did. And I love. Here's the thing about the towel. And my nephew mentioned this. He's like, "Who's he?" I'm like, "He's the boss." He's like, "Well, can't he just stop it?" I'm like, "Well, he actually did that once." He goes, "Why does he have to throw a towel in to stop it?" I'm like, "Because he's using the towel as a motivation." Sammy sees that giant white towel with a knot on it, and he's not really going to throw it in. It's to motivate Sammy. And therefore, it worked as a great prop in this story. And which I adore as well. I thought the match was fantastic. And everything you guys said before, I'm loving this. It's very old school. Speaking of Southern, it's old school Southern. You have to last 10 minutes against this monster. You know?
Yeah. Well, there's a famous match that from the South that had that. Jerry Lawler and King Kong Bundy had that same match at the Men's South Coliseum in 1984.
Well, that, and that was Lawler outsmarting
And it had an extra deal where Lawler, each minute Lawler lasted, he got $1,000.
Yeah, but, and Lawler kept running away and outsmarting him. Lawler didn't stand in there and take a goddamn beat.
No, not like Zane did, no.
It's a great match. The match you're talking about is tremendous. But yeah, you know, to the point, like, how do you fight a monster? You
know, yeah, Zane went head on. Lawler went the Memphis route of doing it. So yeah,
he's the king.
Yeah, he's the king. He's definitely king. And, you know, it's like, where do we go from here with this now? Do we have a definitive regular match, or
where would they have to? Because as you guys said, and I thought it was such a neat, it's something that came off kind of awkward, but more realistic. He hits that haluva kick, boom, and he's stunned. He goes into the corner to do another one, and the bell rings, and he wins. So he could say, "I want Braun Strowman again in a regular match." And they could go from there. It's really well done.
Well, I don't think it's going to be at the Rumble, because I think Strowman's going to be the guy at the Rumble that, you know, throws everybody out. So,
oh yeah, so Strowman's got to be the Diesel.
So they may have a match on Raw or something like that to try to do it. And they got to do it in a way to keep Zayn over. And that's one thing about Sami Zayn's character, is that he can afford to be beaten up because he's like the ultimate underdog, and he always keeps fighting back. And, you know, even though the crowd was horrible tonight, you know, in a lot of other places, that would have worked. I mean, he would have got a lot of sympathy.
Here's the interesting thing about the crowd. Because I know the first half of this match, dead, while Sami was getting beat up. Sami gets in one offensive maneuver on the outside, and then Strowman like hits something really hard on the outside, and the crowd then starts to boo him. But by the end, when they were getting to the countdown, place was going apeshit.
Yeah, it was one of those crowds.
So they managed to take a dead crowd and bring them around.
Yeah, but it was one of those WWE crowds that is coming around these days, is that they're popping for what they think they're supposed to pop for.
Yes, exactly.
And stuff like that. It's like they're more conditioned than anything else, you know.
Yeah, well, instead of booing the beatdown, they sit there and watch it, because people don't boo heels anymore, you know, just for being heels. You know, they're just quietly watching this beatdown. Luckily, it was the one shot of the little child who was horrified.
Well, there were a lot of crowd shots tonight. Kevin Dunn, that's what his new thing now is, showing that random crowd shots.
Well, and I don't hate it, but the idea is to find a meme.
They're trying to find a meme. Yeah, I mean, that's part of it. That's part of it for sure. But, yeah, the crowd was pretty tough tonight. All right, moving on. We get the video, which aired us on a pre-show and aired it again on the main show, of the whole UK tournament deal, the big press conference of this past week, where Nigel McGuinness was revealed as being part of the WWE now as an announcer, and we had all the participants in the tournament, Pete Dunne, Trent Seven, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, Devin, I thought this was really cool that they did this. They're making this seem important, you know, and I mean, I think that this has a good chance of really getting over with American fans. What do you think?
I hope so. You know, first things first, it's really awesome for, you know, UK independent wrestlers and those guys to get exposure, and I think that they did a really excellent job of selecting the participants, because I only know of like four of them, and I keep up with indies pretty well. So they picked a lot of guys who, you know, aren't well known, which I think is a good idea. You know there are guys like Pete Dunne and Trent Seven who are pretty well known. But I thought the selections were good, and I think the hype's been well done. It's interesting. I guess they're gonna end up having a UK-based show now too on the network. That would be my guess.
Well, the deal
a title.
The deal is that they're working with the major promotions, and it's just an interesting deal where they're letting the guys compete for the promotion still. It's just, and they'll defend that title on those promotion shows.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So basically, that's crazy.
So basically, the promotions are like little minor league type or affiliates of WWE in a way. They're affiliated. They're, you know, it's kind of like that. It's kind of like a territory in a way, you could say.
That's a big man. I didn't know that. That's really interesting.
They've been talking about this for years.
And this mainly has come about because of the whole ITV deal, World of Sport. They really wanted to stick it to them, and they want to keep.
My favorite is when Regal said it wasn't about that.
Yeah, press conference. Yeah, exactly. It was about it. But they want to keep that stronghold in the UK because the UK is a hot market for them, and there's a lot of great talent coming through there right now. So.
Yeah.
Well, and the UK currently is a hot market for wrestling.
Yeah,
and I think one of the reasons why I don't know any of these guys, but most of the guys from England who I do know are along the cruiserweight level, you know, and we're seeing them.
Yeah,
because they're all over the indie scene here, and now 205 and all that. But so I don't know any of these guys, but I didn't realize that. The belt was gonna be like, here's the UK belt, defended in your little promotions. That's unheard of in WWE.
Yeah, especially what it's gonna be. Now, Johnny, how weird was it seeing Nigel McGuinness win on WWE production?
But Nigel, I'm so glad to not be on Ring of Honor TV anymore. I just look like a sad shell of myself. A fallen made it to the WWE. Yay, which is all I've ever really wanted. I finally get to break out my killer Nigel impression on a WWE show. Good for him. You know, it's all he's ever wanted.
Yeah, because God, he was supposed to go years ago and he failed the physical. Because of all his concussions.
And when you watch Ring of Honor TV and he's doing his shit, he just looks like a man who does not want to be there.
Yeah, he's not there anymore. So
good for him.
Yeah, good for him.
Nope.
All right, moving on. Go ahead, John.
I was just going to say, Triple H, if someone could, the corporate speak he used to introduce this.
Oh, he's great.
We're proud to announce, you know, the further in our marketing brand expansion, blah, 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 blah. And it was just the most corporate double talk bullshit.
Yeah, he's good at it.
But no, he's good at it, but that's what everything is. That's not just wrestling. That's everything now. And instead of going, we're expanding into this market, it was some contrived loop-de-loop of language that is what is in corporate America right now. And I was like, what the fuck does that mean? And we applauded him. You know, bravo.
Yeah. Now, and that's a good segue to this next match. Seth Rollins versus Chris Jericho, where Seth Rollins has recently made everything about Triple H, and you can tell that they're building to something where Triple H is going to come back and face Rollins. I mean, that's got to happen. And this match, I don't know. This was an interesting match in ways. I don't know. It was pretty slack to start off with. They had pretty decent little finish run there, but Johnny, we talked about Triple H, you know, and how he's being portrayed on television. We've seen him tribute to the troops, you know, but you know, with the reef, we've seen him do the corporate stuff, and they're balancing out, trying to keep it balanced with him as the, you know, the guy that screws Seth Rollins out of the title. So,
yeah,
I mean, what do you think about the way they're trying to balance that stuff out with real life business Triple H and performing Triple H and this match, and what happened here with these two?
Well, as far as that goes, I have no problem with it, number one, for two reasons. One, we're at a point where we just can separate the two. You know, you can, from real life and not. But if you don't want to, you want to keep it kayfabe, think about every great corporate person, you know, who does all the right things, but, you know, also is a dick. You know, America's full of them. You know, and so on this one thing, he fucked this guy, and he wants revenge. And I'm all about that because that is the natural progression of that story. What I don't want is them to put the belt involved in it. Which I don't think they'll do because it last year with Roman and Triple H. And it didn't work. And if they just keep this about that, you know, that I was your mentor. I mean, I was the protege and you fucked me and now I want you. I'm fine with that. Do it. Do that match. All for it. And for everyone, the internet people who hate both Triple H and Seth Rollins, it puts it all into one tidy package for you to ignore as a match in an angle. It doesn't spill over into other shit. You know, you can just have that over there. I'm really not worried because I don't give that much of a shit, but I really don't want them to somehow shoehorn the title into it. And I'm afraid they might do that. That would bug me. I think this should just be personal. As long as they keep it just personal, I'm cool with it. And as far as the match goes, first half, a little, as you said, a little slack, the headlock spot that the camera was right on for a long time. It almost felt like someone yelled, "Jericho, the hard camera's on you. Tighten up that headlock." And he suddenly does. But the second half of the match, I really enjoyed. And I think it was a lot of the crowd getting behind Jericho. And I got into it. And I thought they turned it up the second half of the match. The first half was a little dull. But I liked the second half and the go-home. It wasn't great. But it was certainly... I enjoyed the second half. There you go.
All right. Devin, what is the problem with Seth Rollins? I mean, he... You would think he would be much better as a babyface, and he kind of is, but I don't know if it's Jericho or Jericho and Owens together, they're just not clicking. I mean, what do you think the deal is with him right now?
I don't know. I'm not the biggest Rollins fan. I'm really not a big fan of his. I loved him when he was a tag wrestler with the Shield. I still think he's a really good tag wrestler. They had a bunch of those authority tags and they might have been repetitive, but I thought, you know, they were all good and stuff like that. But I don't know. He just doesn't grab me in his matches as a singles wrestler. I've never liked him on the mic. I don't like him that much. And someone did bring up an interesting point earlier on Twitter, like maybe yesterday. They said maybe he's been back for months already. So, but maybe he's letting up a little bit or still being a little bit hesitant about his knee.
Well, he's got a reason.
He's not going full out. And you know what I mean? Like he'll still do the tope and stuff, which is certainly dangerous. But he, you know, it just seems like he was maybe a little bit more of working a little bit more loose before the knee injury, and now maybe he's holding back a little bit, and that's keeping his matches from going to the next level. Sometimes I think might be that. I mean, I don't know for, you know, we don't know that for sure, but that's a possibility. He just doesn't. You know, I thought him being a babyface would work better. It really hasn't. I don't know if it's the program that he's in. I don't know if it's who. I don't know. Maybe
it's when you constantly have your hero Bret Hart shitting on you about how you're not safe. You start overcompensating.
That's because a good
point. when he did the top rope basically blockbuster move where there was so much air between his arms and Jericho's head that it totally just looked like Jericho just did a very simple flat back bump over this spinning thing he was doing because he didn't even connect with Jericho, like he was really trying to keep him safe. You know, he's just like, because every time he turns around, Bret Hart's shitting on him. He's like, "He's my hero." Huh.
Yeah,
it's all Bret's
fault. Yeah, man. And I'm gonna talk about Rollins and Reigns later because that's another interesting deal I want to bring up. But yeah, this was I don't know. Maybe we'll see something down the line that would be interesting. All right, next match: the three-way for the cruiserweight title. Rich Swann defending against D. Brian Kendrick and T.J. Perkins. Austin Aries shows up to do the announcing with Michael Cole and Corey Graves. So We had Austin Aries on the main show here. Match was kind of short. Every guy worked pretty good. I mean, I thought the action was good. But, man, the post-match angle was great. Devin Neville returning as a heel and really laying waste to Swan and Perkins, and the fans chanting, "Thank you, Neville." Do you think that was an indictment on how the Cruiserweights have been portrayed by WWE?
Probably. I think so. But first off, I want to say the match wasn't good. I thought it was bad. I thought it was really bad. I thought they didn't. There was a couple of exchanges with Kendrick and Swan that were awful. Like the first one, where they did the leapfrog spot, Michael Cole did an excellent job of covering up for that. But so that kind of didn't turn out as bad. But there was another one later on, like around the ropes and apron, that wasn't good. It was just a bad match. I just thought it was really,
you know what,
bad.
It felt like
it was probably,
you know,
the worst.
You know what it felt like? It felt like the old school Death Slot match.
Yeah. It felt like the piss break. It was not good. It was bad. It was not a good match at all. It was easily the worst Cruiserweight match I've seen since the division has started. But the post match was excellent. Just because Neville is someone who I think it's a really good idea to get these main roster guys into the division, because let's be honest, it helps it get over. I think it helps it get these other guys over. I think, you know, they need to bring these guys into the division because it helps these Cruiserweights get into the WWE style. It helps them get acclimated to the WWE audience. It's the right decision, and I liked how Neville looked awesome as a heel, just from that beatdown. At least I'm kind of looking forward to that, and see how that goes. As far as the crowds chanting, "Thank you, Neville," that was the hardcore contingent doing that. But
okay, no, here's the thing. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
We're chanting that not because of a division. They're it because he just saved that match stunk, just like you said.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah, they didn't care. That's for sure. They did not care about these guys at all. And it's been and that's been a common theme with a lot of the Cruiserweight matches.
I do want to say one more thing real quick about the division, because it's, I think one issue, one major issue is with the casual audience. There's still time for this to work, and it's still going to get there, and it still needs time.
Oh, I agree.
But when you promote it as Cruiserweight, I don't know every casual fan in the world or anything like that, but they don't see it as weight class. They see it as a style. So when you have Drew Gulak and Ario Daivari and all these guys doing holds and headlocks, I think these casual on the TV shows are just not—they're not buying that, because they're expecting to see. That's why guys like Rich Swann and Cedric Alexander are more over, because they're doing, you know, the occasional flip and the occasional big high spot. You know, they're doing more high spots. So I think that's just an interesting kind of. Mm. I mean, I know that sounds. It's just
no, yeah, but you know what the thing is, though? The guy that's gotten over the best of all of them is Jack Gallagher, and he don't do no flips and dives. He's got great charisma.
But he does comedy well. Yeah. Yes, he has great charisma.
Amazing.
He does comedy very well.
He knows how to work the crowd, and they've gotten into him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in the spots that he's been out there. So there's ways of doing
that's a great
it.
Point.
You know. You got to go out there and mm-hmm. and show some charisma, show some fire, and be different.
But
he's
Devin's
also flashy.
There.
He's also flashy, yes. too. Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead, Johnny.
No, I'm sorry. To Devin's point there, I think it's you're exactly right. It's with the whole Cruiserweights, to be all a bunch of flips, right? No, it's a weight thing. And with both segments of the fan base, be they the people, you know, the internet smart fans or whatever, and you know, the people who actually pay money and go to the shows. And but there is that, you know, what do you expect from this? And what people need to learn, and I think they're going to get to it. Like you said, I think at this point, they're more willing to figure out what's wrong with stuff and try to make it work than they have been in the past. Right. I think definitely.
I think another problem is, though, is that...
And
go ahead, Johnny.
...a thing. And Jack Gallagher is going to be the star.
I think another problem is they've got quite a few guys that they haven't even used yet on the show. That they're using right. the same guy. That's the thing. We've seen Arya Daivari every show. I mean, it's like, come on, where's Grand Metalik? Where's Tozawa? Where are these guys at? You know, some of the flashier mm-hmm. guys. Well,
to defend the Tozawa, I'm pretty sure Tozawa was overseas at one point. So I think there's, you know, I think he was like in Australia or something yeah. at one point. So, but I agree with you. Yeah, I think, you know, it would be, they're only 3 weeks into 2-0 Live. So it's, you know, it's going to take a little bit because there's like 20 guys on the roster. So it's going to take a little while for him to mix everybody in, but.
Yeah, it just needs to be better. But Johnny, real quick before we move on, I know you're a big comic man, and it's always interesting to watch the superhero yes. turn heel, isn't it? Turn evil.
Well, I guess so. That doesn't really happen all that much in comic books.
Well,
usually turn in the next issue, but Neville is. I've always kind of liked the guy, but holy shit, he's better as a heel. And that's just from tonight. The way he clapped his hands, ran down to congratulate, and they're like, his protege. And then there was not even the whole, let's shake hands. And then, no, he immediately just ran in there with a big smile and then kicked the shit out of
him. You know what? And you know why that's going to work? It's because Neville is like a really great offensive wrestler. And as a heel, you have yeah. to be a really great offensive wrestler.
No, and yeah. to your point also, and to your point, a look. Neville's face with his big, long, crooked nose and his, you know, with that hair hanging down over that face as he was leaving, I was like, he's got a heel's face.
Yeah.
That's a heel's face. That's yeah. not a baby face. You know. And suddenly I'm like, he looks fucking evil. Out of nowhere, I'm like, instead of him being a superhero and looking like an elf, you know, now he looks fucking evil, and I'm like, I was impressed so much because I agree, I thought the match stunk too, and boy, Swan and Kendrick, like you said, it was more than two. There was like four times where just a sloppy shit was happening. Like, why couldn't these two guys do anything together? Nothing was working between those two guys at all.
Nope.
And I was kind of putting it on Kendrick, to be perfectly honest with you. You know, he seemed a little like not there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
All right, moving on. We had Kevin Owens begging Chris Jericho at his locker room. And, John, you think this was a little too much, or you thought this was, you know, a fine thing to do? I mean, what were your thoughts about this segment?
Well, here's the thing. I think this is one of those things that I have to separate myself from what I enjoy at the moment from, yeah, it went on for a while. Me and my nephew were laughing our asses off at this because I kept waiting for a payoff that wasn't coming. As he argued, and he had an argument with a door.
Yeah,
apparently 10 minutes. And the more it went on, the more I was laughing. Down to the end of the argument was okay. Oh, that's the way you feel. My feelings, door. That door just did everything. Did Kevin Owens during that? He argued with him. He rejected him. He left. And then we get that. And I think it had to be Byron who said this because it's such a Byron line. You know, how's he supposed to go out there and fight with hurt feelings? I was like, oh. Which we laughed about, and me and my nephew laughed heartily. Like, guy couldn't possibly go out there and fight with hurt feelings.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah, he's suffering from a broken heart.
I enjoyed it because I enjoy that sort of. I enjoy.
Yeah. All right, let's move on.
Please, a long moment of silence there.
Let's move on to the women's title match here, the Iron Woman title match, 30 minutes. Or is it? As Sasha Banks defended her title against Charlotte. And going into this match, I was worried. Not because of the match, because I knew they would go out there and have a solid match. The crowd was where I was worried about, and sure enough, they didn't react to a lot of the stuff that was going on here. But I thought this match was really, really good. It wasn't as good as maybe a couple other matches, but I thought this was really strong. And Charlotte, I tell you what. I mean, a lot of folks have, you know, bang on Charlotte, but I think lately she has really turned it on and in the ring. And of course, her character's been great, but I think she's really turned it on inside the ring as well. And I thought this was a total blast. So, Johnny, what did you think about this match? Yes.
Well, first of all, I agree with you 100%. I think Charlotte has totally turned it on in the ring, and her character work is probably in the top echelon of anyone in that company. She's,
you know, she is. She's the female Miz in every way.
I know. Well, okay, I can see that as far as who are the people who are really turning it on. Then yes, what she is though, she's, and as we see, she's a flair. They pulled back from her, you know. She's billed as Charlotte Flair now. It said Charlotte Flair up on that fucking screen. And she has the CF. And she now is comfortable being all the best things about her dad. Instead of being like, oh, we don't want her to be too much like her dad because it's a cheap imitation. She now is all that. And that was also plays into why the finish end, because the way it did, because in the end, in any of these massive kind of feuds, Ric Flair always is the guy who comes away with that title, and that's what happened tonight. And I enjoyed the fuck out of this. I didn't even notice the crowd not into it, because I was just into it. I was like really enjoying this fucking match a lot, and I don't like Iron Man matches generally. Never really been a fan, because they're hard to do. And they could be dull, they could be contrived. I thought they did a great fucking job, except for one little contrived thing that me and my nephew both pointed out and laughed about. Was the whole thing was the time was running down, and Sasha's in the figure four.
Oh my God.
And she's going to, yeah, exactly. She's going to tap out. They say she's watching the clock. It gets to 3 seconds. No, I have to tap now. Really?
Who the fuck taps out with 3 seconds?
Seconds. And we were both saying if it had been 9 seconds, that would have been the money spot for it. That would have made more sense. And we both laughed about that. And my nephew said, let's keep going to him. He said to me, he goes, that took me out of it. He's like, that felt like the most realistic thing I've seen tonight.
It was ass backwards.
And that took me out of it.
I mean, the babyface should be the one trying to get the tying fall, not the heel.
Yeah, but even still, just the timing of it, I know they were trying to be super dramatic. And they should have pulled back and done it that spot at the 10-second mark, around there. Yeah. It would make more sense. But then within 30 seconds, Sasha's face explodes. And red equals green to me. And I forgot all about that. And someone's bleeding on wrestling. And I got into it. And I thought the rest of it went perfectly well. And got really excited about it. And I thought, I know a lot of people are going, I can't believe they traded the title back and forth all this time. Like, in the modern day of entertainment and wrestling, those long drawn out things where people trade belts back and forth are going to be more compressed. It's just the way it is now. You know, if you don't like it, I get it, but it's just the way it is now. So I thought this was the perfect ending for that, because Charlotte is the person. She's the Ric Flair. She's the face of this women's division. And I thought the match, I preferred their other matches, to be perfectly honest with you, because I'm not a big fan of the gimmick, like I said. But I thought this was a ton of fun, except for that stupid tap out thing.
God, it's dumb.
Now, Devin, there was a lot of hard hitting in this match, too. And I mean, Sasha. That spot where she hit the ring steps looked nasty.
Good Lord.
Holy shit.
I mean, she takes a lot of punishment in her matches, and you know we got the blood at the end, but the interesting thing I thought about this match was we didn't get a fall until 19 minutes into the match. No, I mean, knowing these types of matches, sometimes you'll get a fall early, where you know it kind of puts, and usually the heel will get it, and it puts the babyface, you know, where they have to start coming back. But we didn't get the fall until 19 minutes, and then Sasha was the one that got the lead. So, like I said, it seemed to me that this was booked backwards, where Charlotte was fighting to you know, get to overtime, when it should have been, you know, the babyface, but the babyface the champion too. So I don't know. Maybe it's interesting how they lay this out. But what were your thoughts about the whole thing?
I thought it was an excellent match. It was what I like about their matches is they all kind of feel different from one another. And you know, this one. It was a really gritty wrestling match. It's really what it was. Yeah, you know, they were just really. It was a really physical wrestling match. Even the mat work looked really painful and nasty. And it was really good. I thought it was a great match. That ending, the end of the regular period was so fucking stupid. God, that was dumb. I mean, but the overtime period was excellent. How did Sasha bust her face open? Do we know?
I don't know.
It had to have been from a shot. It had to have been from some type of strike.
Yeah.
Camera definitely didn't catch it.
Course, yeah, it was Kevin Dunn direction.
That helped the visual of the final minute of the overtime, because that was a really, really great final minute. I was like, oh shit, it's Kurt Hennig and Nick Bockwinkel from 86.
Yeah, if only.
but it was a really, really, really good finish.
See, now I want to see Nick Bockwinkel wearing a little pair of booty shorts like Sasha.
Man,
he can carry out his whip when in a
yeah.
that he had. But I thought it was a great match. You know, at first I was like, oh, because I'll be honest, you know, it's probably a good thing because I'm a huge Sasha mark. So I was like, oh, man, Sasha lost. But someone pointed out on Twitter, it doesn't really matter because them trading the title was kind of Sasha winning or rather Charlotte winning. They're even. You know, they're even as wrestlers. One really, I mean, like, I know Charlotte won the feud, but like at the end, you didn't feel like Charlotte was way better than Sasha.
You know what it's like? Feud, you know what it's like? It's like, you know, in sports where you had these two rivals and one of them will win the regular season. And then the other one, if they beat in the playoffs, the other one always wins in the playoffs. Sasha always wins on television, and Charlotte always wins on pay-per-view.
Right.
Which is the way this feud's been.
But it's always close, you know? Yeah. Yeah, and it's always close. So Sasha's fine. I think they're kind of, not the fantasy book too much, but I'm guessing they'll probably go to the Sasha, Nia, Bailey, Charlotte.
That's where it needs to be. That's now. Where I was. It's definitely so. Charlotte Bailey. That has to be where they go now. Bailey's right. Got to get in the mix.
Well, I mean, they'll go to that because of the post match at Survivor Series.
They got to go to Bailey right now. So. I mean, she oh well, get in the mix.
That's the obvious one. It's where Charlotte goes. The question, yeah. Or is that Sasha? I mean, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, right. Bailey definitely needs to get in the main picture right now. Because, I mean, she's just hanging around, basically, working Alicia Fox and Dana Brooke. And it's time for her to get into the title picture. So we'll see how that goes. But, strong performance from both women. And, again, Charlotte, I know a lot of folks don't like her. But
I don't know why.
She's tremendous in her role. Like I said, she's like the female Miz, man. I mean, she... She has that heat from a lot of people.
It's the quote unquote nepotism thing. Johnny is part of it. Don't like her for that's what it is.
She's part of it, but she's really great in everything she does.
Oh yeah, she's excellent. She deserves
that could be a thing when you're like, well, why is David Flair on WCW television? Yeah,
but name of David Flair though, David Flair, Eric Watts.
Yeah, Eric Watts.
David Flair and Eric Watts were pushed for that reason, absolutely. But they didn't go out there and really excel and try to work as hard.
That's my thing.
They weren't any good.
I mean, Charlotte. I mean, Charlotte wasn't always that great either. She was carried a long time.
She's a baby face, but she's a great.
Yeah, she was carried for a long time, but it seems like this. You know, it seems like she's gained a ton of self confidence in herself in the past few months, especially that you know, especially when she dumped Rick. It's like it's really when she turned it on. And I mean, she's been great.
And the thing with her and Flair from Raw last week or whatever the fuck it was outstanding.
That was fucking incredible. That's like the best angle on Raw.
Yeah.
And here to your point, Chris, real before we move on, it's one of those things. Yes, at first was Charlotte still learning and feeling like, oh, they're pushing her before the more talented ones. Fine, you know, people hang on to that. And refuse to see development for some reason. It's really weird. They're like, she was pushed before she should have been. Isn't as good as the other girls. Yeah, a year ago. But now she's awesome. And some people can't let go of initial impressions. And it's bonkers.
We'll say this. If the Nia thing doesn't work out, I think Sasha and Emma would be a tremendous few. With Emma coming back, I gotta think they do Emma Lena on Raw tomorrow night. And what a way to debut her, you know, and she's talked some shit on the horsewomen on Twitter. So that'd be a great way to go, you know, to bring Emma Lena in.
And there's a great way, and there's a great in gimmick on that. Even though they've changed Emma's character to Emma Lena, there's still the back, oh, you're the NXT girls with all the hype. Yeah. What about me?
Yeah, and then get some Ray involved in that too, and that'd be, you know, they need to get some new blood, different blood, freshen it up a little bit.
I didn't realize Summer Rae was still there.
Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah. And she's been talking shit on Twitter, too. And speaking of things that need to be freshened up, Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns, Universal title. This is quite a long match. It had some slow moments, but overall, I thought it was a strong match, especially towards the end. Roman Reigns is awesome, and Owens did hit everything he did pretty good, and I was kind of surprised that Reigns did some of the stuff that he did. I mean, those two frog splashes were insane on that table, Reigns did the Cena and let Owens hit his like twist and suplex off the top rope, you know, which you know I know that. He did the Nakamura Ring of Honor. He did the Cena. He's done the Roman Reigns. He's done a couple other times too. But not everybody is taking that move. But
right,
we get the Jericho finish and the stuff after that, which we'll talk about. But Devin, thoughts on the match? And were you surprised that we got a cheap finish, or do you think it made sense considering what they were doing? What were your thoughts on the finish and the match?
As far as the match goes, I think it was similar to the Jericho Rollins match, although I think the second half of Roman and Kevin was better. I think the first half was kind of kind of boring, and then when things picked up, it got really good. Like you mentioned, those frog splashes on the table. That first one was like, oh shit! My favorite part was Owens was like, fuck it, I'll do it again. So I could break the fucking...
Yeah, head. I think it was supposed to break on that first time.
Roman was probably...
But didn't it lend it more of a sense of realism that it didn't break the first time?
I know, it really hurt.
Yeah.
And it really hurt Owens.
There you go.
Jesus.
Oh, there you go.
I'm not the biggest fan of Owens putting in a headlock, but I did think it was funny when he yelled at Reigns that he didn't have any balls. That made me laugh. I think he yelled that.
Yeah, he's really good talking shit when he does that stuff.
But
oh, he goes, "You don't have any nuts. Oh, you don't have any balls." And then they started bleeping him.
Yes, I noticed that.
Yeah, he was getting TVMA out there.
But yeah, it was fine. You know, I thought Jericho would get involved for sure. I mean, I think it was obvious. It was set up that way. I just didn't know how or what, and I thought it was a clever finish. You know, with the whole Jericho kind of giving... to me, it was like, I'm going to give him the Codebreaker because I'm angry at him, but I'm also going to do it because he's my best friend and I'm going to help him keep his title. So
Thank you. You got
that's
it.
Definitely what it was when we found out.
But that's what it was. They will have a match eventually.
Oh, it's coming.
You know, that's going to happen. You know, a few months down the line, that will happen. And they're going to tease that further. It's going to go, you know, a little bit longer, which is fine. That I think it got a decent pop when that happened in the crowd. Then the post match for the beatdown on Jericho and Owens was interesting. The crowd felt like their two baby faces just got beat up, I guess. They didn't like it too much. But I'm assuming this sets up a tag match for Raw tomorrow.
Yeah, because Rollins and Reigns were out there just beating the shit out of these guys after the match.
Yeah.
If you looked at it from a normal wrestling point of view, you felt like this is a double turn. I mean, what's going on here? You know,
I don't. That wasn't what it was.
No, it wasn't. You know,
the crowd certainly took it that way, but
it was a bunch of heels. It was a bunch of heels.
That's basically what it is.
There you go. Yeah, but yeah, you know, the match was fine. It was decent. Liked the second half. Good deal. Finish was clever. Post match was. I don't really have much of an opinion anyway on the post match. I just thought it was kind of interesting that even Rollins got heavily booed. I don't know if it was by association or if they were, I don't know, but he was getting some decent cheers earlier in the show and he got booed pretty heavily at the end of the night. So
this was them thinking that this is the we're gonna send the fans home happy deal, and it was not that in this town. That's for sure. But Johnny, my question to you is, and I brought this up on Twitter the other day during the whole Tribute to the Troops deal where they had, you know, the Shield together again, standing there, you know, mm-hmm. New Day. It's like, they have really bastardized the potential for that Shield reunion where, you know, that could have been a big deal when they finally pulled the trigger on that and had them come together. They've done, you know, things at different times, you know, in different shows where they've been together. And, you know, Rollins and Reigns has worked together lately, although they're not together, but they're, you know, why is Roman, you know, helping this guy out? You know, it seems like they have totally dropped the ball on what could have been something special for a future Shield reunion. So I want your thoughts on that and your thoughts on the match.
Well, I think they did the fist bump. you know.
Yeah, I mean,
here, you know, it's. I don't think they've dropped the ball on it yet at all. I think it's still to come.
They've already, you know? Yeah, but they've had them on TV doing stuff together multiple times. I mean, first time that should have happened, you know, that should have been an amazing deal. It should have been something for WrestleMania or something like that. They've been doing willy-nilly, you know?
Well, I think until it's all three of them in the ring at the same time, it's not going to be that. You know, they did the little thing in tribute for the troops, you know, that no one watches.
Yeah, well, they're playing that big time on social media. That's another thing, you know. I mean,
I know. That's where, and you know what? And that's where I saw it. You know why? Because I didn't watch the fucking show. Okay.
You have Ambrose and Rollins, who, you know, was in this big time blood feud just about. And now they're just standing together, you know.
But here's the thing, okay? That's wrestling, okay? That's wrestling. People who have been in blood feuds turn around and go, but we're brothers. Enough time goes by and put us in a situation and, you know, well, we're still brothers at the end, and the Shield are still...
But that's the thing, though. In the wrestling past, though, there have been angles to set that up. This is just, here we are.
Well, I think they're still dancing around it, and the first dancing around is now the fact that Roman and Rollins are both baby faces on the show. It's part of the initial dancing around of that.
Maybe.
But hold on. And as far as the crowd booing, it's just the crowd was really just into Owens and Jericho. That's Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
You know, Pittsburgh is still what I would call an East Coast town. You know, with East Coast reactions. And so when the Shield, minus one, were doing Shield stuff at the end and getting boos, I was like, I remember when the Shield came in and they got boos for doing that. So I was fine.
Yeah, but they were portrayed as heels when they came in, though.
Right, right. But I'm still fine with it. And because I also, along with that crowd, I'm cheering for Owens and Jericho because I like the bad guys who are really bad guys. I like
cheaters. But they're not really bad guys. And they're baby faces.
They're assholes.
No, they're not. They're baby faces.
They're total assholes. Yeah, but
they're total baby faces. They're like Rusev.
Fucking Jericho and Owens are completely...
What? I mean, all you gotta do is watch the television and see how they are cheered heavily every time they're out there.
Well, maybe it's just the case where the assholes are maybe the crowds like the assholes now. Maybe it's
the heels
that's the thing.
It's because they're entertaining. That's the reason Jericho's getting these reactions is because he's amazingly entertaining, and that's part of wrestling now. It's odd, but as far as the match goes, I really enjoy this a lot. I thought they worked together amazingly well. And I got really into this match. I thought it was a lot better than Jericho Rollins, like by a huge margin better than Jericho Rollins. And also, I'm a huge fan of both these guys. I love Roman Reigns. I think he's fantastic. I'm a huge Kevin Owens booster. And I thought they went out there and tore the fucking house down. And but going into that finish... And immediately saw some reactions, you know, on the social medias. Why wouldn't Jericho just attack Reigns and get the DQ for his friend? That makes no sense. And it's exactly what Devin said. It's the whole, I'm still mad at you, motherfucker. So I'm going to do this to you and still save your title. And what I really liked about that was they didn't leave it up in the air to go, what does this all mean? Tune in tomorrow. They explained it right then and there. They had them realize what had happened. And Jericho's looking at him with that smile. And he's like, holy shit, you're a genius, Chris. Oh, and they hug. And I was like, oh, thank God they got to it right away. And it wasn't a big slog of backstage shit tomorrow night on Raw to explain that. They got to it right away, and I thought it was really slick and really funny. And if you're going to do this ridiculous thing of two grown men who've only known each other for 2 years, calling each other best friend, which on its very base is dumb. Nobody does that. I have my best friend I've known since the fourth grade. If we go out together, I don't go, "My best friend dropped his fork. Bring him another fork." No one talks like that. So it's already ridiculous. So, the fact that they do that, I love that. I thought the finish, I was amazingly entertained by it. And I really liked the match too. At first, I'm like, "Oh, well, they did a screw job finish to the end of a pay per view." And exactly, let's give them a Shield reunion to send the crowd home happy. Oh, this crowd really likes the bad guys.
Yeah. Or they just like what they like.
Pittsburgh is full of degenerates and terrible.
Yeah, but it's not just Pittsburgh. Every Axis way, though, you know? Roman Reigns gets distraction everywhere.
Fuck the Steelers.
Fuck them. I'm from the East Coast. The Northeast. I know how awful we are. We're awful people, and we react awfully. It's just part of it. Although, speaking of that, I do like the fact that both Corey and Saxton wore black and yellow because they were in Pittsburgh. I thought that was a nice little touch.
I didn't catch that. That was...
Yes,
Ever the fashionista. Yes,
that was definitely on purpose.
Johnny, you're Ever the fashionista. I'll tell you that.
I mean, you know what? And fuck the Steelers and fuck the Penguins. Fuck Pittsburgh.
What about the Pirates?
Fuck them.
Well, what about the franchise Shane Douglas?
Shane Douglas? I'd love to get into a cursing war with him.
But you are a Bruno fan, right?
Bruno? Oh, well, yeah, okay. It's fantastic. Okay.
And Dominic DiNucci.
Devin, you just called me out on my bullshit, right?
Alright.
He's really from...
Yeah, he's really from Italy, so I just say he's from Abruzzi, Italy. So that'll save you right there. Yeah.
I had to... It's so... As the Nazis, they would shot my mom on the mountain. You know, you are Stein the monster.
Well, it looks like this feud ain't over either. So we'll have these guys to go at it for a little bit longer. So we'll see what happens from there. All right, let's talk about the show in the capsule here. Thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs in the middle. Devin, start off with you.
I'll go thumbs in the middle. Bad cruiserweight match. Couple of kind of dull first halves in the Jericho Rollins and Owens Reigns feuds and matches. That 3-second tap out was fucking stupid. Even though the match was great. I mean, it literally was, God, I hate that.
Me too.
solid thumbs in the middle. Everything else is good.
Johnny?
Great. Oh, definitely thumbs up. And I agree with everything Devin just said. I thought the Cruiserweight match was stunk, too. But one stinky match that has a great finish with Neville. And everything else I thought was either good or great. And I wasn't expecting it. I didn't think this was, after that TLC pay-per-view, which I thought was going to stink and was awesome. And this one, I was like, okay, are they going to be able to live up to that? And like, maybe not as much, but I thought they did a really great job. Just that cruiserweight match. And yes, the 3-second tap out thing stinks.
It's so stupid.
Yeah, absolutely agree. I'm going to go thumbs in the middle. There's a lot of hit and miss on this show. So, I mean, it was inconsistent in ways. I mean, we had some really good stuff. We had some really shaky stuff. So, just the best way is just go right down the middle, and we'll go from there. Now, we've had a lot of shows lately, but now we're about to have a break. As Royal Rumble is a month away. So, where do you think is going to happen in this next month to get us by to the Rumble, Johnny?
I have no idea. It's WWE.
I mean, do you think there's going to be any real big angles going down or whatever? If there's a lag, I'm sorry. So I don't know what's going on with the.
Oh. Huh.
So.
Did we lose Johnny for a minute?
I don't know. He's really lagging. Anyway, as.
I think.
Johnny's still there. I just think he's lost in translation somewhere.
Yeah. It was weird. He started talking, and then he just disappeared. It was like a weird, like...
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. But anyway, Devin, do you think we're going to get any big-time deals going on? No Cena's coming back in. What do you think's going to happen in the next month on both shows that's going to set up the Rumble?
Well, I think for the next couple of weeks, you know, we're going to get to the AJ Ziggler match on SmackDown. And you know, we're going through the holidays. So I don't expect too much happening. Typically, the first week of January is usually a big week in WWE. So I think they might shoot an angle or whatever on both shows for the first week of January. I wouldn't be surprised if Cena came back and challenged AJ for another match at the Rumble. That wouldn't surprise me. I wouldn't be shocked if Cena announced he was going to be a participant in the Rumble match itself. You know, there's a lot of things they can do. You know, obviously the only guarantee that we know is that Brock and Goldberg are both going to be in the Rumble match. So I'm assuming they're going to try to make that even more star-studded. I don't know how Taker's doing.
I think there's a good chance he'll be in the Rumble.
Take
and, yeah.
With
Elimination Chamber being a SmackDown show, I think it kind of says that Raw is going to win the Rumble, a Raw guy.
Yeah.
So that'd be interesting to see who wins from that, you know, in that situation. Yeah. But, it seems like right now that, you know, we're going to be in a holding pattern, I think, for the rest of the year in a lot of ways, you know, until things get back up.
That's how it happens, you know. It's, there's 6 weeks to the Rumble, so I imagine the first 2 weeks will be holiday stuff, holiday bullshit. You know, you'll have the AJ Ziggler match on the 27th. They'll probably have a tag team, no DQ match, or maybe just a straight tag match that gets a lot of time between Rollins and Reigns versus Jericho.
Yeah, something's going to happen.
You know, something like that. It's nothing big's going to happen in the next couple of weeks. It's just probably be more like wrapping up these feuds at the end of the year for good. Any leftovers, I guess, so to speak, and then they'll start kind of anew in January a little bit and push toward the Rumble.
Absolutely. Well, we'll see what happens. We'll be back in 6 weeks for the Royal Rumble. Check me out Between the Sheets every Monday on SoundCloud.com/Between the Sheets and Place Be Nation. So check that out. And Papa Hale's be on Exxon Bad Street coming up in the next week. So check that out. That should be a blast because Papa Hale's is very passionate about his wrestling. Believe me, that's been a fun show. And Devin knows that all too well. So,
I'm looking forward to him turning heel.
Well, hey, you're back. You got lost in the Matrix, I think, Johnny.
I know.
Since you're back, what's going on with Titans and Brainbuster?
Brainbuster is on hold, dude. It's just it's so much work to put it together, and I'm so swamped with actual work that pays me money.
Well, that's understandable.
I'm looking at end of January. Titans.
I think Johnny went back in the Matrix again.
he was just doing and the there show you go. Too.
I'm gonna send Morpheus to go find Johnny. Of course, and but anyway, Titans. I guess they have some new shows out, so go check it out. And on that note, Devin, thank you as always for being on the show. Johnny, if you can hear me somewhere. Thank you for being on the show as usual. And who knows, maybe good old Will will be back with us for the Royal Rumble. We'll see. He's still in his nationwide tour. So we'll see what happens in January.
I can.
All right. So on that note, this is Chris saying so long from the Peach State of Georgia.